Amen. I'm so excited what God is doing and what God is going to continue to do and where God is taking the body of Christ. Amen. I want to encourage you this night to pay careful attention to some of the things I want to share. The reason is because the Lord said in the book of Isaiah chapter 64 verse 4 that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him and those who wait upon him. So in every generation, every year, there is something God has prepared that is connected to destiny. And I want to explain that a little bit in regarding to a prophetic key that the Lord wants to share with you tonight regarding our expectations for 2015. When God said that, pretty much is referring to the human eyes and the human mind. But also, it is very evident to the church from the writings of Paul that sometimes, like he wrote to the Ephesian church, that it is important for the eyes of our understanding to be open. Why will he be praying that for the Ephesian church when they are already a very good church? That their eyes be open that they may know the hope of their calling and the riches and the inheritance and the power and the authority, the things attached to that. So God wants us to grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. So whatever we experience 2014, the only way we cannot remain the same as 2014 is that we have to gain some understanding that can help us in 2015 enter more into the place God has for us. Because the programming of God is that we never remain the same. And the only way God does that is through revelation. First of all, I want to make it clear from Ephesians, from Corinthians, Paul was talking about the Old Testament, the experience Moses had, you know, at different times in his life, to the point he had an experience where his face was literally glowing. But he said that that of Moses was nothing compared to the New Testament. And it says, for the New Testament, as we behold him, we are transformed, we are changed from glory to glory into that very image. Into what image? What you cannot believe what you don't see. And you can become what you believe. So you can only become as far as you see. So revelation opens our understanding. And when we respond and apply and obey those revelations, God will cause us to be transformed into the image of what we have seen from glory to glory. So he doesn't want us to struggle with certain things we struggle in 2015. He doesn't want the enemies we fought in 2015 to have any chance at all in 2014 to have chance in 2015. So he always wants to reveal his heart to us. And then as he reveals it, we are able to apply those understanding and walk in that reality. So for us to enter this year and into the gates of this year, the Lord wants to give us a key. But that key, I'll get to it towards the end. The book of Rome, so that's why I want to encourage you tonight that even as you write, I'm trying to make sure this is recorded so you can go back and meditate on this, because this is the direction we're going to focus a lot through the year so that we can really not lose sight of it. So I want to thank God. I want to thank God for all of you. I want to thank God for your faithfulness, your commitment. But prophetically this word tonight, I pray that it will inspire you, encourage you, provoke you, and awaken you to an expectation to a different level this year so that you can obtain promises that were not available to you last year. Amen? In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the first scripture I want to read, and we're not going to major so much into that today, but I want to lay the foundation for the directions we'll be going, and I will share with you the key, one of the keys for this year. In Romans chapter 8, Paul was writing to the generations before, during his generation and generations after. And here in Romans chapter 8, from verse 19. But let me just read 22 and I'll read 19. Say, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 19, for that the earnest or intense expectation of the creation awaits or longs or looks for the manifestation of the sons of God. So basically, we're going to look at what this looks like in this year. But basically, what Paul is saying here is, in every generation, there is a groaning in the heart of man. There's a groaning, and that groaning is that God will reveal his children, that God will manifest his children. Because when God manifests his children, there are privileges and authority and his power his children possess to answer the problem from every generation. Right from the fall of man, God is not ignorant of the position of the fall of man. So in every generation, in every dispensation, God has made provision for solutions. But sometimes God has to, because it's in spirit, God has to have human vessels that can agree with that provision. And those human vessels, they have a process to go through before they can become answers to the need of that generation. There is no generation that God does not raise up a standard that can reduce the work of Satan under the feet of that generation. But God has to have people who receive the vision, the heart of God, and they are able to go through the process to become the vessels that he can use to do that. So there is a groaning. And the only way I want to describe this so that we can go to the prophetic word for today is like the example with Moses. In Egypt, there was Pharaoh and his taskmasters, which was a type and shadow of Satan and his demonic operation in the world. So Pharaoh and his taskmasters are holding the children of Israel captive, and they are afflicting them and tormenting them for quite a while. So Moses was among the people in Egypt. So when the season came for God to begin to process a solution for that generation, a standard that is able to confront Pharaoh, is able to deal with the taskmasters, and is able to plunder Egypt and release the groaning of the people into a place of freedom. When it was time, God had to bring somebody out of Egypt, and that was Moses. And then when he brought him out of Egypt, Moses went through a process for 40 years, and at the end of that 48th year, that season, Moses encountered the burning bush. And it was at that encounter, God spoke to him and said, it is time. It is time for what? Exactly what Paul was saying. For the manifestation of the sons of God. For I hear the groaning of my people in Egypt. I hear their cry. I hear their pain. I hear their affliction. And it's time for the sons of God to manifest. And in the Old Testament context, Moses is entered into the maturity of sonship. He has come out of Egypt as a form of salvation, and he has gone through a process that has removed a lot of Egypt out of him and established a lifestyle that now Moses is equipped and available to be used by God as a child of God. So the groaning of Egypt was for God to manifest the sons of God. And Moses was a type of that in the Old Testament. And so God sent Moses as a manifested son, and a son in the context of the Old Testament at that place of maturity was able to address the groaning in Egypt and was able to plunder Egypt and brought the people from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom. You can read all that in that Romans 8 from 19 to 22. Now, that's what Paul is saying. In every generation, every generation is under the power of darkness. Regardless of their state, no matter what you look on the outside, the word groaning means they are words that men cannot alter or understand. Though they might speak words or they might look at circumstances in the physical realm, but the groaning is the deepest inner cry of man for the reality of God to be released in their generation. So Paul was saying that every generation cries out for the sons of God. Amen. So this season, God has heard the cries of our generation. And many of you have been in preparation. Many people have been seeking God. So there's some things God wants to reveal to us in this 2015 so that we can begin to understand what the mind of a son looks like and how to begin to apply this revelation so we can walk in the image of what we see. You become what you see when you obey what you see. But you cannot be what you do not see. We will look into all these things by the grace of God from revelation to revelation to really understand what God wants to do with you, with me, and the body of Christ across the world in this year, beginning this year. Amen? So that's things we're going to be looking at. But now for 2015, for our beginning foundational preparation to build an expectation for 2015 in a positive way. What is the word how does God wants us to position ourselves to prepare for, to confront? First of all, we must understand without allowing ignorance to delude reality. It is from the fall of man. Anybody that does not understand that the world we live in is full of challenges is deceiving themselves. The only people that have been able to make a difference in the world and in the spiritual context of God's calling are people who recognize adversity and difficulty. And if they're able to get an answer for the difficulty or the adversity, they become either rich people because they are answers to people's cry, or they become spiritually rich because they are empowered to solve problems that man is facing. So we must not be ignorant that we cannot ignore adversity, we cannot ignore problems in this world, and of course we cannot ignore the reality of our adversary Satan himself. So once we understand that, we know that 2015, Satan has not left the world. Problems have not left the world. But what can we possess as God's children that and can arm us, empower us to enter 2015 with the kinds of weapon we need to overcome things better or move in a different dimension than we were the previous year? Because God wants us to grow. Because God has said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are very, very spiritual. So I want to share with you a scripture. And out of this scripture, the Lord will speak to your heart. And I pray that an impartation will be deposited in your life that will arm you with a mindset for victory and being an overcomer no matter the challenge you face in 2015. This impartation and this key will be able to unlock a lot for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read from John, the book of John. I will read from verse 4. And the Passover, a feast. Let me read from verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this is, take special note of verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he, Jesus, himself, knew what he would do. So Philip answered him and said, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a young man here, lad, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the man sit down. Before I continue, I'm excited about this statement I made. Jesus said, let the man sit down. This is the season we're entering into that God wants flesh to sit down. He wants what we want to do from 2015 to be a work of the Spirit. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And we know there are always men, women and children outnumbering men. So you can do the math. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up fragments, leftovers that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet that shall come to the world. Jesus gave them enough for the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Father, I ask and I desire your mercies. It is your desire that our eyes be open. It is your desire that we have understanding. And it's your desire that you show us things that you desire for us to walk in, so that we can continue to conform to the image of your Son. That as sons and daughters, we will not operate from the perception of mindset of our slavery, but we will begin to operate out of the resources and the riches and the glory and the impartation of your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that you open our eyes, that what you reveal to us, you give us the grace to walk in, and that your name will be glorified in 2015 in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus wanted to teach the disciples something. They have been with him for quite a while. And the reason he chose these disciples was to train them. And training is not just only the knowledge that he trains them of the kingdom. He also demonstrates and literally lives out the example of a son before them. And he trains them by examples and teaches them what eventually they will become. But he was giving them practical and knowledge and informations that they need. At this particular point, Jesus wanted to give them a key. He wanted to train them, and eventually, when we read the next, something we're going to probably not read, but you know it, is he was going to tell them about the keys of the kingdom, and he was going to let them know that these keys are available for God's children. But he was going to reveal one of these keys that opens things and closes things, that shuts things and open things. And he wanted to show them this. So God teaches the disciples and he allows them, like one time he says, go over to the other side. He knew they were going to face a storm. He gave them time to face the storm, then he came. In different times, he allows them go through different situations because he was preparing them that the world we live in, there's an adversary and there are circumstances, and they are here to answer those problems. They are here to take care of those. They are here to subdue those things. So he lets them experience difficult things, and then while he was alive, he gives them an example of how those things can be solved. So in this situation, he wanted to test their faith. He wanted to test them again. He's been teaching them. He wants to take them to another level of training. So he brought them to this point. A lot of multitudes, people were following him. They've seen miracles. They've seen things. But it wasn't for them. It was for the disciples. So after he's brought them, he said he wanted to test them. He wanted to teach them something. And then he said that, Jesus said, here is all these people. I don't want you to send them away. They've been with us, and I want us to feed them. So Jesus presents a problem. He presents a need. And immediately the disciples evaluated the problem, evaluated the need, and they knew very well it was impossible. How did they know? They said, 200 pennies worth of bread cannot feed these people. Basically, it is very clear here, God wanted them to see that money cannot do the work of God. Money facilitates the things of God, but money cannot do the work of God. Sometimes, like Simeon, he wanted to buy the gift of God because he thought it's something money can buy. Peter says, silver and gold I have not, because he wanted to make it clear the kingdom of God is beyond the power of money. So here, the first lesson they should learn is money cannot perform miracles. So they said 200 pennies worth of, 20 worth of bread cannot do this. We cannot. So, and then they said, and Jesus told, and the Bible makes it clear, it says, this he said to prove them, to test them, for himself knew what he would do. Meaning, remember the words of Jesus in the previous chapter, verse 5, that the Son of God, cannot do anything unless what he sees the Father do or what he hears. So Jesus does not move ahead of God. So it was God who wanted to test them, and it was Jesus who wanted to confirm this test. So here, he says God already knew what he was about to do. And he already knew the answer he was going to provide. He already knew the victory was already in place. He already knew what he was going to do. So my brothers and sisters, now let's introduce the reason for this word for 2015. I want to ask you, we sing this song many times. You call him an Alpha, we call him an Omega. We call him the beginning, we call him the ending. You know, the book of Revelations makes it clear that God knows our future. He is the one that wrote this Bible. He knew things 2,000 years ago. But for tonight, for 2015, can we at least believe that God knows everything that will happen in 2015? If we at least can settle that in our heart, that at least God knows you, and he knows the details of your part, your life for 2015. He knows exactly how you begin the year. He knows how you end the year. He knows if you will walk throughout 2015 in the flesh, the ways of men, the expectation of men, or the destiny that man has programmed, or how you will apply yourself to the track of God's destiny for you. He knows exactly the provisions will come when you line up with his destiny or you line up with the things of the flesh. He knows everything. He knows the whole future. So if God knows the future, we talk about the GPS. If God knows the future and he knows everything about 2015, will it not be wise for us to work with somebody who has already been there? He already knows it and knows where we're going. So God is saying to these disciples as he was testing them. And as I was studying this, the Lord awakened my heart and said, son, I know everything about 2015 pertaining to you. And God is saying to you right now on the phone, God knows everything about 2015 pertaining to you. And the best way we can bear more fruit towards 2015 is to align ourselves to the ways and the things that will allow him operate so freely that we can be able to receive those things our eyes, our ears, and our heart do not comprehend at this point that will carry us to the rest of the year. So Jesus knew what he was going to do, but then he presents a problem. And that's why I started by telling you it will be very, very, it won't be fair to us to not anticipate that as much as Satan is all over the world, that we're not going to face challenges in 2015. The world is already facing challenges and they are growing. Darkness is growing. Everything is growing. So as we live in a fallen world, there's no way 2015 we will not confront needs or challenges, or there will not be things we face. So Jesus wanted to let them know, first of all, I want to let you know that 2015 will have its challenges. But I also know what I'm going to do over every challenge you're going to face. I have a solution. I have an answer. I have already prepared a life for you to walk in an overflow. I prepared already a solution. Not that you just walk in victory, but you're going to see an overflow in everything you do. You're going to experience victory, you're going to conquer, and you're going to overcome, but you're going to have an overflow. So he already has plans. He knows what he's going to do. But the question now for us is, how is he going to do this? And as they were thinking about, okay, how is he going to do this? We don't have the money, we don't have the way, and that's always our mind. How will God solve the problems we're going to face in 2015? So immediately Philip went and they found a young man. They said, okay, if we don't have money, here's somebody with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And as they provided that, they said, but Lord, what is this to this whole crowd? Again, I want you to know that God is also saying to you and me that we already have what we need for 2015. We already have what we need. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. And in the physical realm, we already have anything we need. God will walk with what we have. But how does he walk with what we have? This thing is not enough. This thing cannot do it. Money cannot buy miracles. So God, how do you want me to walk in 2015? How do you want me to deal with sickness? How do you want to deal with finances? How do you want me to deal with diseases? How do you want to deal with obstacles, challenges that I'm going to face? God says, I am training you to begin to understand the need for miracles. Because what you have physically can never be able to confront or take care of the challenges. The world is groaning. What they need cannot be solved by physical strength. What we'll need in 2015 is a miracle. And God is saying, you already have what you need. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Word of God. So since now they have what they need, how do they apply it? What is the strategy for this? So Jesus told them, the first step is that flesh and blood cannot do it. Man has to get out of the way. They have to sit down. So in 2015, it is important for you to begin to evaluate when you are dealing with things, for example, there are things doctors can do. There are things you can take care of. There are things men, God has given man ability to do. When you do those things, give God the glory. But whenever you evaluate things that you know that are impossible, stop immediately and begin to give room for how God can do it. So you don't get frustrated and you don't give up. And then when God gives you an assignment or a vision or something that he wants you to do, usually you can't do it in the flesh. It requires faith. So God says, let the flesh sit down. In other words, wait on the Lord and receive insight. Wait on the Lord and receive strategy. Wait on the Lord and hear from the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Practice letting the flesh sit down. That is, just let the flesh not try to do it. Wait on the Lord. Now, when we wait on the Lord, what happens? When men sit down, what happens? God begins to reveal a strategy. And this strategy is a key. In this particular point, is a key. Let me read this key. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, that's and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. That word there, thanksgiving, taking what you have, going in the strength of what you have, walking with what you have, there is something that can happen to it. Moses has walked with something for 40 years called a rod, a staff, for God used it. A woman was left with just only a cruse of oil. God used it. A woman was left with the arms of food left to eat. God used it. Sometimes, you know, God will use what you have. There's a parable in Nigeria that what you're looking for in Sokoto is in your Sokoto. You know, so it's already there. So what, use what you have. So now, Jesus gave a key. That word gave thanks. It's not just the thanks we know, thank you. That word is the word for worship, for adoration, for thanksgiving, for magnifying God, for giving God glory, for worshiping, for praising, for glorifying God, for exalting his name. It's not just, it's a praise, it's a worship, it's a thanksgiving. But you say, what does this mean? When this is done in difficult situations, not when we are blessed, or in very difficult situations, you will see what happens. So I want to share with you why I began with Romans 8. This year, God wants to begin to awaken us and provoke us to begin to really manifest our sonship, manifest our spiritual identity that Jesus paid for as children of God, to begin to walk in the knowledge of our spiritual identity. God wants us this year, like God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you became flesh in your mother's womb. I set you apart. I ordained an office to you to walk in so that you can fulfill the assignment I have for you. So God wants us this year to begin to understand who we are before we became flesh and blood. When we got born again, who is that born-again person? Just like you know who you are today, you know your name, you know your call, you studied, you want to be an engineer, a doctor, you know what the assignment, you know what you can do. God wants you to know who you are as a spiritual person. And before you came in this world, God did not allow you to come in any other generation, Moses' generation, Elijah's generation. He brought you into this generation. He put you in specific nation because God hears and knows the need of that generation. and he put you to come as a son, born again, and then he wants you to know who you are, know why he brought you to this hour, and exactly the office that will be the answer to the problem he sent you to solve. And that's what the groaning is about. And that's what we are groaning for, so that we can become the children of God out of slavery, to come into, to labor into our rest, to become sons, that God can give offices in the spirit, and then we are able to use that office to deal with our assignment. So, that person that God was talking to Jeremiah about, that person that when you became born again, that you have inside of you, that person, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, that if you allow the processes of God to be finished, if I allow the process of God to be finished, that person is an heir of God when he knows that he's a son or daughter of God. He's a ruler. So, that's the person that God wants to provoke us to begin to come into the knowledge of, into the image of, into that divine awareness of, so that we can respond to the crisis of our generation like Moses responded in Egypt. Because man, flesh, like Moses said, I cannot go back to Pharaoh. I can't deal with Pharaoh. God says, you could not when you came out of Egypt. I brought it out here so that you know that you cannot do it. It took Moses 40 years to know he couldn't do it. And that's always my problem. That's our problem. Man always thinks we can do stuff for God. God says it's time this year for man to sit down, for sons of God to arise. So now, that's what God wants to provoke. So, what Jesus, how does that happen? How do we begin the process of applying this key that Jesus expounded here? See, because he's training them. He's a son of God. He's working at it. So here, there's a problem before their eyes. And then he walked them through the training process. They saw that they can buy it with money. They can do it. Okay, they have something in their midst. How do they solve it? Jesus said, okay, here is how you do it. They just give thanks. They thought it was just an ordinary thanks. And then the thing started multiplying. So what does this mean? So, we cannot operate in certain dimensions with God until we reference that dimension from a position of a son or a daughter of God. Let me explain what I'm saying. When you look at the way Caleb and the way Joshua looked at the giants, it was different from the way the other 12 spies looked at the giants. One says, we will take it, we'll overcome. The other one says, we are grasshoppers. They are standing on two different positions of identity. If you look at the way David looked at Goliath and the way Saul and the rest of Israel looked at Goliath was different. David was standing from a practical position that the others also were standing from a practical position. They saw Goliath different from the way David saw Goliath. That's where God is calling us to be provoked into. When Elisha was faced with the Syrian army, he was standing from a practical position in the spirit. His servant was standing from a practical position again. The servant saw an army that would destroy them. Elisha said, God, open his eyes. And he saw the position of Elisha, and he was at peace. So we have lived so long, and we are now in the season where God says, I want to begin to open the eyes of my children to start living out their identity as the children of God, as the sons of God. For the world is groaning. The nations are groaning. Families, people are groaning. They are saying, let the sons of God manifest. So, Jesus, for our own New Testament, at a point in his ministry, wanted to reveal how we can embrace the revelation of the sons of God. And then when we understand what the position of a son of God is, we can begin to receive the keys. So I won't read the scripture, but I can tell you because you know about it. You can go study Matthew chapter 16. So Jesus wanted to tell them how to walk in the revelation of sons. So how did he do it? He used himself again as an example. Who do men say that I am? I'm in this flesh, I'm in this body. I am with you, I eat with you, I go to the bathroom, I do everything you do. That's the tabernacle of this world. But now, you see me do things nobody else is doing. Who is doing that? So you've been seeing it, you've been knowing me, but I want to know how you reference the place I am operating from. What is the position I'm operating from? So let me start with you disciples. Let me start with those I've been with me for so long. Who do people say that I am? He said, people say you are like one of the prophets. You're Jeremiah, you're this, you're that. Probably you're, you know. So he said, okay, that's what they say. They are from a distance. They see these things. So they think I'm one of the incarnates of this prophet. So you are more closer to me. Who am I? Who am I? Because he wants to let them know this, and this is what God wants to convey to you. If you are able to answer who Jesus is, then you are able to answer who you are when you become born again. If you cannot answer who Jesus is in the flesh, you will not know who you are in the flesh. So Jesus asks them and says, who am I in the flesh? They did not know. Who do you say that I am? So the first thing that happened was Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, the lesson, number one, is taught. As long as you see me through the eyes of the flesh, you will not know who I am. With all these miracles, you will not know who is in your midst. So God again is saying, as long as we believers, we are born again, we are Christians, and we've been in church all our lives, as long as we continue to look at ourselves from the point of the flesh, from the life of the flesh, we will never know our clear identity as the children of God. And when we don't know our identity as children of God, we are not willing to pay the price to die to the flesh so that the sons of God can manifest. Because the only way you can sacrifice and pay the price for something is that that thing is a treasure to you. So Jesus is saying, flesh and blood can never reveal who you are. That's the reason why my brothers and sisters are struggling becoming a Christian, you know, came to America. You know, I just, the Christianity I knew could not keep me from sin, could not keep me from the difficult situation in Nigeria. So when I came here, I had an encounter with God. He heard my cry, I just want to know this God. And when I experienced that, it's just like Paul, I came to a place I says, so this is who you are. Then there's no need to seek for something else. I will go after this revelation until it becomes a reality. So that's how God began this joining about flesh and blood cannot define your spiritual identity. And that's the problem we are facing. Everybody's groaning, you are groaning. Because God is saying, I will continue to let you groan because I'm not satisfied for us to live with such spiritual identity and limiting ourselves as human beings up till now. So 2015, God is saying, first of all, I want you to be awakened that there's a destiny in you. You first of the foundation of that destiny is Jesus. In you, in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Peter said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. We are children of the Most High God. So the next thing God was saying is, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. It's by my Father who is in heaven. Again, that's by revelation. That's by seeking God. That's by waiting on God. That's by praying. Your identity is highlighted. What God told Jeremiah, that person that God knew, you yourself will begin to know who that person is from God's eyes. Your Father now begins to tell you, you're my son. This is who you are. This is why I sent you here. This is the assignment, and this is the provision for you to make it happen. So, Jesus, after saying that, he said, based on this revelation, Peter, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. In other words, my sent out ones. Based on this revelation, I will be able to establish you and send you out to fulfill an assignment in the earth. My church. So, the revelation of sonship. And that revelation of sonship is a position you stand on. And Jesus described that position as a bedrock. Once you understand your identity, once you understand your spiritual DNA, once you understand that you are a son of God, he says your life is like somebody that built his house on a bedrock. You become unmovable to obstacles, rain, storm. No matter what the enemy brings, you are like a house built on a rock. And so he told Peter, upon this rock, upon this love, we'll look at others in future. Actually, that rock is the love of God. Upon this rock, upon this love, upon this thing we call love, upon this rock I will build my church upon this Christ. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Let's go further. We'll look at all this as the Lord brings us to remembrance. Again, gates means government. It means upon this rock I will send my church, I will establish my sent ones, I will raise my church, and they will confront the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand them. And that's the example of Moses in the Old Testament. Moses, after 40 years, has established, has died to flesh, and now he's awakened to Christ, and it's a shadow. So now, David was a sent out one. He was an example of a church, an ecclesia, sent into Egypt. And the gates of Egypt, the government, the spiritual dimension of Egypt could not handle the mantle of Moses' life. So the world is groaning. The whole universe is groaning for sons and daughters to take their position. And here Jesus says, is the position. That position is a rock. And that rock is those who have come to the knowledge by revelation, they are the sons of God. So based on the revelation of a son or a daughter or a child of God, because you're now willing to pay the price. My brothers and sisters, the disciples were willing to pay the price because they had a revelation of who they are or what they are called to do. Joseph was able to endure the unbelievable surge of opposition in his life from his brothers to Egypt and everything he went through because there was a revelation of his destiny. So now, Jesus was preparing them and telling them, based on this revelation, you become a rock. That's in the physical illustration of what a rock is. Is in the spiritual dimension of what a son will look like in the time of crisis. So Jesus says, I will go further to tell you, the moment you come into the fullness or the understanding of sonship, you come into maturity like Moses after 40 years or Jesus after 30 years or John the Baptist or Joseph, all these different people that were shadows in the Old Testament and a fulfillment, Jesus became a fulfillment in the New Testament. When you now are able to understand your DNA, then you are willing to go through the suffering. Like Paul says in Romans, the suffering of this present time is nothing to be compared to that glory that will be revealed in us. You are willing to go through every levels of obedience as Jesus did. He says he learned obedience too. You're able to go through it so that by the time this glory is revealed, you look back like Joseph and said, my, that's not suffering for the position I'm working in now. That the whole world has to look to this to find solution. That's not suffering. That's not suffering. So visions, dreams, revelation of assignments, Godly assignments and destiny will empower you and anchor you upon that word and revelation to endure the waves of opposition and the stress of life and everything you go through to await the manifestation of Christ in you. And the maturity will release the blessing and the empowerment of God to fulfill an assignment. So Jesus says, the only way you fulfill an assignment is you become a son. And when you come to the maturity of a son, God will give you a key. And that key, he says, he give you this, the, upon this I'll build my church and the gates of Asia, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of God. The key means authority. Authority. So, this brings me back to what we're talking about, that about the five loaves and two fishes. Anybody else can take that five loaves and two fishes and worship God for 24 hours, and nothing will happen. It doesn't mean that some level of things will not happen, but certain things will not happen as is expected. But why will Jesus teach us this lesson? Because he is a son. And in the position of a son, he sees what other people don't see. And I'm about to show you two examples of what Jesus sees, or what we see as sons in the Old Testament. Because that way you can understand the New Testament. So what I'm sharing with you, I use the word sharing because it's something God is sharing with me and saying, I am expecting you to think in this way. I'm giving you this to apply it in your life. So I am walking with you in that direction. And we're learning together. So Jesus, like I shared, not to repeat myself, was sitting and standing in the position of a son. And he wasn't seeing the problem the way the disciples see it from that position. He wasn't seeing it the way anybody else would see it. He was seeing it from God's position, from a son's position. And when you see things from a son's position, from God's position, you see the finished work. Jesus saw 12 baskets of leftover. He saw that that five loaves and two fishes will feed 10,000 people. He saw what God can do with what we have when God touches it. So he was seeing that from that point of view when God revealed that to him. But before he applied it, he says, let me test these people. Hey, guys, how do we take care of all these people? He already knew what he would do because he's already seen from the Father what the Father was planning to do. And he presented a problem. So my brothers and sisters, God already sees the whole of 2015. He already knows what he's going to do. He knows that in every situation we're going to face, his desire is for us not only to triumph in Christ, but to have an overflow, to have a victory, to have success. But then we have to follow a strategy, a pattern that will align us to be sons and to see from that dimension for us to manifest the path that he wants us to operate in. So that position is the position of sons and daughters. That mindset is the mindset of sons and daughters. So why was just Jesus giving thanks effective? Let me tell you what that means in the Old Testament, and we'll begin to round up. It was a key. It was a key. Jesus applied a key. Keys open and keys close. Remember, we just talked about him revealing to them. Once you know that revelation, who I am as a son, then you know that I'm, when I, as a son, Peter, you know why I'm doing what I'm doing? I carry keys in my hands. I carry authority. And this authority are principles that we apply. I apply, and these keys work. So one of the keys is called the key of David. It was revealed, first of all, to Isaiah in Isaiah 22:22. David mentioned the key of David. And then in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus told the church of Philadelphia, I open and no man can shut. I have the key of David. I close, I open, because I have the key of David. That is one key. And I want to explain that key to you, how it works in the spirit. And that key in the spirit, it shuts the powers of hell and it opens the windows of heaven. But you have to understand how to operate in it. And you have to operate in it from the position of sonship. It doesn't work any other way. So, as we close, I want to explain two examples, because the way God teaches me to understand things better is from the physical realm, especially from the Old Testament. Then I begin to apply spirit to spirit in the New Testament. Again, please indulge me to say this. I am learning this process with you, and I plan to do what I'm sharing with you, and I'm looking forward to see 2015 be a better year for me, and I hope for you. So now, two examples in the Old Testament. One was, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God spoke to Moses, and he told him, go this direction. He told him, you can read it in Genesis 14, Exodus 14. He gave him clear strategy, the direction to go. And as soon as Moses was going in that direction, by faith, because Moses knows where that leads to. Do you know what that ended up? You all know. It ended up at the Dead Sea. It ended up at the rock, the mountains on two sides, and at the Dead Sea. You can't go any further. My brothers and sisters, read it. God told Moses to go that direction. So, God speaks to sons like he spoke to Jesus. And when God speaks, like he revealed this thing to Jesus about what he's going to do with the loaves and how he's going to feed the multitudes, the physical realm immediately begin to walk by sight. And so the children of Israel, when they got to the dead,